Our Father, we thank you very much because you are raising an army. You are raising an army from the dust. You said the earth was without form and void. You're raising an army that hasn't had a structure, that has been divided, that has been lifeless. The Lord, you said when the time that was appointed came, at the appointed time, which is now, you caused the prophetic word to go forth. Lord, we receive the prophetic word. We receive the anointing for this hour. Even the anointing of the body.
Hallelujah.
To heal the body.
Yes. Oh yes, yes, sure.
To heal the breaches in the body. To raise up an army. Even one man.
Hallelujah.
Is going to stand upon the earth to do your will. To enforce your will and to bring forth righteousness upon the earth. So we ask, Lord, that you might anoint our hearts. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding, let all the abilities that are within us that have been dormant, as he said of those brethren, as they partook of the bread, that their eyes were opened, their understanding was opened. So grant us understanding. So cause the entrance of your word to bring light.
Yes, Lord.
And to bring deliverance and judgment. And so let it be that you will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Even this wine, that which is able to bring life to us and raise us from our conditions. In the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
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 I'm going to ask you to enter a covenant with me for how long are we going to go?
Your book is called.
So we are going to be attentive. We've just had dinner, is it? Dinner. So everyone is all strengthened up. So can we go just a little bit and then be focused? Amen. Is that an agreement?
Amen.
Amen. So if you are from Florida, you can't go to Florida this night. So you are stuck in this room. Amen. So if there are questions from that, you know, if there are things you want to ask questions, it will be good to have the questions maybe at the end. Because we need to be clear on certain issues. We need to be clear on certain issues. If you notice, the ministry has been specific.
Yes.
Has been very specific. And it is good for you to be practical. It has to be something we can work with. Something we can experience in our lives. Not just theory or ideas. Because then it will come and then go with every wind of doctrine. But it has to be something that can affect our lives. That is, going forward, we will not be the same kind of people we were when we came to this conference.
Amen.
That is the whole purpose. So there has to be a take home point, action points. That is the way we function now, isn't it? When you go for a meeting, they say, where are the action points? So you write out the action points. These are the things to do. 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. Do we have such action points? The Lord is saying, looking at all that is being said, it zeroes in on one point. The veil. Amen. Everything zeroes in on the veil. Amen. So we are supposed to be here, and we are being encouraged to move forward. Amen. Okay, it's assumed no one wants to move back. We are agreed on that. Because we are not of those who draw back to perdition. And we are assuming that no one in this room, or those hearing, if you are listening on the internet, no one wants to draw back. We want to go forward.
Amen.
So how do we go forward? Amen. It's clear we must go forward. Because if we don't go forward, God will raise tribulation. The desolation will come and move us out. Or, well, maybe move us forward. But it is better to decide to move forward. Then, if God sees that I have decided to move forward, then God can help me. The scripture in John 7:17 says, you will know of his doctrine if you will do his will. If there's a willingness in you to do the will of God, then God will show you the way to break through the veil. That is the secret. If you want to do the will of God, God is going to anoint you. Not only anoint you, he will show you the way to go in breaking through the veil. So it comes back to us. Do you want to move forward? If you want to move forward, then God is going to reveal himself to you. He's going to come to you and show you the way to go. He says, if any man love me, let him do my commandments. That's John 14, isn't it? If any man loves me, fine. It's good to say we love the Lord. That's the assumption, isn't it? Now, the Lord says, if you love me, there are practical points, there are action points. Keep my commandments. And he says, if any man loves me, I and my Father will come to him and make our abode with him. You know, so God is laying the table out for us. Now, in going forward, there are a number of points that I feel we need to look at. And I'm looking at Revelation 11. It's very important that we pay attention. Revelation 11, reading from verse 1. Revelation 11 is discussing the outer court and the holy place. It says, "And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God." Remember, the temple of God is you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that's our definition. The temple of God is your soul. So here is the measurement. And the altar, and them that bring offering therein. So he's speaking of the things that are going on in the dimensions of your soul, of my emotions, desire, will. So this is not another person. You don't need to look at anyone. So you're zeroing in on yourself. He said, "But the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread down 42 months. So now, when I took this to God, he said that what it means is that the outer court and the holy place are going to be overrun by worldliness. Are going to be overrun by the principles, by the spirits that are working in the world. That was the understanding I had. That is, the principles and the things that are happening in the world are going to come into the church. And now he says, don't even measure the outer court. Okay? Now he's talking about the holy place. He's saying those things are going to come. So that was why he says measure the temple. There's a need. That measurement has to do with judgment, has to do with revealing those things that are happening, so that, you know, so that we can come to a place of repentance.
Yeah.
I'm saying God says in his word that the world has come into the church.
Yeah.
And when the world comes into the church, if God wants to move, what he would do is to measure the temple with the intention to judge it, and in judging it, to bring deliverance, to separate the precious from the vile, to take away the defilement out of the temple of God. Now, there are clear examples. There's a man called Manasseh. How many people remember the man called Manasseh?
Manasseh.
Is that a good way to pronounce it? Manasseh, is it not? Good. He was the son of Hezekiah. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
In the Bible, he was the son of Hezekiah. Okay? And if you read 2 Chronicles 33, all the scriptures that are there, what did Manasseh do? The Bible says he built altars for Baal in the outer court, in the holy place, and in the holiest of all. So Manasseh speaks of a spirit, speaks of a situation that is in the church now. Not just the church now, but it's in the end time church now. It's addressing our condition. Now, when we say end time church, in my mind, you're looking at fellowship. I'm not looking at fellowship. God is speaking about the individuals. He's speaking of the individual experiences, individual situations in our souls, in our mind, in our emotion. That is what God is saying. He's saying there are things that have come in, and those things do not honor him. Now, the example, Ezekiel, the Bible says in Ezekiel 8, chapter 9, that the elders of Israel came before the Lord. And God began to open their hearts to Ezekiel. He showed him all the abominations that were being done in the temple. So, what God is saying, and the situation now, is that God is beginning to address those issues very clearly, very specifically. We are no longer glossing over them. Amen. No answer. Amen. God is beginning to address those issues. It's a head-on collision. Have you had a head-on collision before? Head-on collision. That's two vehicles, they meet head-to-head. Hallelujah. So God has come into the temple, into the house, and he's addressing issues. Are you going to be happy for us to address those issues? Can we address those issues? Be very careful when you say amen. Be very careful how you say amen. Anyway, you have said amen, so we can go on. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Okay, let's read on. He says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200, threescore, clothed in sackcloth. I won't waste time here just to explain. Maybe Brother Mark will find time to properly set it, you know, in order. Now, he read the other day what I call the national anthem of Zion. We have a national anthem. He said, 70 weeks are determined for the holy city. Now, when that word came, it referred to Israel as a nation. That was a natural application. And historically, archaeologically, in all the historical events and evidence, it has been proved that according to those period of time, that was from the time the word was given to the time when the temple was built, it was actually 69 weeks of years. So that has been, so we pass that. But in the spiritual application, it speaks of the people of God, specifically to the restoration of this temple. The burden of prophetic declarations that Daniel made, he said that these things that we are being said, we are reserved for the time to come. And that time is now. And the burden of that declaration is that the temple will be raised again. The sacrifices will be restored. And that sacrifice is being restored, speaks of a priesthood that will be raised.
Yeah.
But in saying 70 weeks at the time, he says he will make an end of sin. He will finish the transgression. And so on. But as he said, in the middle of the week, that offering was stopped. And according to what he said, it was Jesus that stopped the offering. Jesus stopped the offering. That is, Jesus fulfilled one half of the 70th week of Daniel. And from the time when he finished it, that calendar was arrested. If you're a Bible student, you will notice that God has several calendars running. And that's why it's difficult to pick out one and generalize. Because there are several calendars working together. And it's only God who can tie all of them together and take a position. So in this one we're looking at, this calendar was stopped when Jesus made that offering. And that calendar is about to begin to run again. That calendar will start running when the two witnesses are raised. When God raises the body of Christ under the anointing of Christ to finish up the remaining part of the 3.5 years of ministry. I don't know whether it's a prophetic time or whether it's a physical time. I can't tell you any of those. But for Jesus, we know he ministered for 3.5 physical years on earth. And that ministry was stopped, and he's looking for a people on the earth who will complete that time. Amen. That is the prophetic, that is the next thing to happen in the church. Because many in the church do not have a vision. They do not have an understanding where we are going to. We must have hope. We must have a hope. Hallelujah. Where are you going to? It must be clear what we are pressing onto. We are pressing onto an army that God is raising. And the brother had the vision of the army, isn't it so? Being formed. And God is filling up the last breaches of that army. Hallelujah. God's program has not suffered loss, will not suffer loss. Amen. Even if I think God's program has suffered loss, it has never suffered loss. Hallelujah. He is choosing his army.
Amen.
And he is preparing his army.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, Revelation 11 addresses this army, the raising up of this army. And he says they're going to minister for 40 and two more, which is the same thing as 32. Three and a half years, or whatever time you want to say, but it's still the same period of time. And from what God is saying, he is about to release this army. Now, he will release this army because we are coming to the time. The army will be released at midnight. The army will be released at midnight. And it is, well, some people say it is the activation of the sons of God. However way you want to understand it. But the world is going towards midnight. But at midnight, God has a trump card. At midnight, God has a solution. The Bible says that the devil was bound for 1,000 years.
Hallelujah.
Who do you think is going to do it?
Oh, yes.
The Bible says an angel came down from heaven. Which heaven? Which angel?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Brethren, we must face the issue. We are not preparing enough. We are not preparing as a people that are going to bind the devil.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. It is the church that is going to bind the devil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Say amen now. It is you and I that are going to bind the devil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And if you understand that, you know that it means we have a lot of work to do. Amen. We have a lot of work to do. And God set a clock. He set a trap for the devil. He says, dust you will eat. You will feed on dust. And that is a clock that's running. It's a time bomb that's running. Hallelujah. Do you understand? God said to the devil, fine. Flesh is your food. Go and eat flesh. Feed on the dust. So when you read it on the reverse, what does it mean? Any day the dust says it is enough. Any day the dust says it is enough. You will not feed on me anymore.
Amen.
The devil will be finished.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the task is, how are we going to address that? How are we going to say to the enemy, you will not feed on me anymore? So that is the challenge. That is the challenge. And you see, you must reduce it to action point. It must not be what I call English grammar. That is speaking English, high sounding theories. It must be reduced to things I can do on a daily basis to cut off the enemy. We need practical points, brethren. Hallelujah. Because we are already in the warfare, and someone says we are being slaughtered. And that's true. You better believe it. The devil is having a field day. Hallelujah. And that's because we have allowed him. We have allowed him. Hallelujah. I have allowed him. Hallelujah. So let's read that. We're getting to those action points. He said, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Amen. Verse 8 is my place of emphasis. See, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. So you understand what's going on. There's a slaughter. Amen. There's a slaughter. You know, the church is being butchered left, right, and center. It shall lie in that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's asking you a question, asking me a question. Can I survive in Egypt? Can you survive in Sodom? How many people can survive in Egypt? Can we see your hands? You are a strong man. You can survive in Egypt. You can survive and be an overcomer in Sodom. Okay, no hands.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah, it said our Lord was crucified in this spiritual city. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scriptures tell us, right from Genesis up to Revelation, that this wilderness is the same thing as Egypt. Is that okay? Is that correct?
Yeah.
The wilderness speaks of Egypt. So can we ask the question, where is Egypt spiritually? Where is Egypt spiritually? And where is Sodom spiritually? Where is it? Okay, someone say outside. Or under the earth. Okay. In outer space. For information, they now have space tourism. So if you pay the right money, you go into a spaceship and you go for a honeymoon or vacation out of gravity. Amen. Amen. So where is the world? Where is the world? Hallelujah. The world is Skylar. The world is Muhammad. The world is like, okay, they say debut. in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. That is where our Lord was crucified. Hallelujah. Are we agreed on that? Now, is God going to save America? Is God going to save Nigeria? Why would he not save America? I mean, this is God's own nation. God's own nation. In God we trust. And we are doing Thanksgiving. Okay, just words. Amen. Now, you see, that is the takeoff point. The problem is here. You know, I mean, medicine, when we treat a patient, we have what we call patient education. The first point of managing a patient is to adjust, is to get the patient to become his own doctor. Yes. You get the patient to become his own doctor so that he treats himself. That is, he adjusts his mind to the situation. That's the first point. Particularly if it's a long-standing illness, you must have patient mental adjustment. It's what we call the mental surgery. You have to change your mindset to adjust to what you have to deal with. Amen. The problem is that many of us, we are disconnected. We are disconnected from spiritual reality. We are disconnected from spiritual reality. And when we make that adjustment, then our victory begins. Do you want to overcome? Address your mind. Give me the scripture. The Bible says, any man that loves the world will be an enemy of God. How would you want to have a soldier in your ranks that is friendly with the enemy? You are going to war. That is, it's a high level risk five. That's, as you go in, you're not coming out. So you don't want to take any risk. And then you will enlist someone who has sympathy for the enemy in your ranks. Is that what you will do? Hallelujah. But many of us, we are at home with the world. We have not made that choice. Coming out of Babylon is a cliche. This is just English language. It hasn't affected our lives. I didn't say come out of Babylon. It is just mere words. Hallelujah. It hasn't become a matter of life and death. And this applies to me. So the first takeoff point is that we must detach from the world. You must sit down and say to the world, it's enough. From today, we are no longer friends. We are no longer friends. It must be a conscious decision. A conscious decision that will affect the choices we make. Someone wants to move from one city to the other, and he has not bothered to find out what if there is a fellowship in the city he is going to. That you are going from city A to city B, and you have not bothered to find out the spiritual implication of that movement. You cannot tell me you are a soldier. You are not one. Yes, you are moving from one city to the other, and you are not looking at the spiritual implication of that movement. You are not a soldier. You cannot be in this army. It's not possible. Because if you move in a situation that puts you out of action, that you are no longer relevant to God, that movement is not authorized by God. It was authorized by a rise in paycheck. It makes your career more prosperous, but has not done anything to the kingdom of God, then that movement is suspect. That's just an example of making such a quality decision. Hallelujah. Now, let's move quickly to Egypt. I want to also look at certain situations. Now, we say the world is Egypt. Now, what are the principles in Egypt? God said, I will judge the gods of Egypt. Now, when Moses got into Egypt, guess what? What was the first thing he had to confront? He had to confront the ruling spirit over Egypt. Now, may I ask you, have you confronted the ruling spirit over your life? Have you confronted the ruling spirits over your life? You see, you can have crusades and conferences. The devil is not bothered with that. Skylar conference, how many years running? Next year will come. The devil is not bothered with that. But he is bothered when you begin to address his authority. When you begin to address his authority, he will show you that he is still around. Now, many of us believe that the devil is irrelevant. That is because we are not touching his authority. The first thing that God had to do was to address the ruling spirit in Egypt. And there is a ruling spirit, there's a familiar ruling spirit. But was talking about the hell, angelic angels and all those things. Well, that's putting it one other way. But the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual entities. And there is a ruling spirit in every family generation. There are territorial spirits. The scripture says there was the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia. And when government change, those princes have to agree. Do you understand? This is not Democrat, Republican matter. It's not just Republicans and Tea Party and all that. You know, so if the church in America, if you are addressing Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, you are out of action. You are out of action. You are not relevant to God. I'm very sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I didn't want to. Am I safe? Can I go on? Can I go on? You see, I'm a very, very quiet brother. I don't want any problems. I don't want any problems. You see, I don't. Okay, I can go on. Okay, all right. We are completely flawed. Even before the action begins, we are out of action. We are of no relevance. No relevance to what happens over the governance of this land in which you dwell. The Bible says, pray for the land, for the peace of the land, so that you may dwell in peace. Hallelujah. So what is the church doing about it? That is at that territorial level. Now, what are you doing over the spirits that rule your family? Okay, there are no spirits in America. The spirits are in Africa, the dark continent. No problem. The dark continent, there's no problem whatsoever. Anyway, I'm not from Africa, I'm from Zion. I only live there. And I was born there. Hallelujah. So there are no sentiments. Hallelujah. But I have seen a lot of, we call it juju worship. Juju means devil worship. I have seen a lot of it on the streets. In Mahomet, Iskall, every shop I enter, they're all over the place. You don't even need anyone to tell you. You see devil worship everywhere. Is that true?
Yes.
When I was in England in 1996, I was doing my master's. You know, God showed me the English, the spirit that rules England, Britannia. Many of you are from Britain, isn't it so? Britannia. It had coat tails. It was wearing coats. Had coat tails, dressed like a polished gentleman. He was very civilized. He was aristocratic. He was aristocratic. He was an aristocrat. You know, that means that is the cream of the cream. The cream de la cream, isn't it so? Uh-huh. That is it. Brother Bob said, whenever he sees the devil, brother, how does he dress? Are you hearing that? Each time he sees the devil, he's very classy. Say, he wears gold colored, gold polished, the expensive shoes, speak and span. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Now, that is the spirit you have to address. If you are talking of being part of this army, breaking through your limitations, you must address the ruling spirit. If the church does not address it, you are wasting God's resources. I will be wasting God's resources. And because of it, many are asleep. Many are sick. Because we are like the ostrich. You know what the ostrich does? It lays its egg. You know, and what does it do? Try to cover it with sand. And buries his hand in the sand. Hoping that, you know, and that we are hoping that we don't want any trouble. We don't want to bother the devil. If you want devil worship, you go to Africa, all those places. That's where I get devil worship. Isn't it so? Is that correct? Hallelujah. Well, when God sent Moses to Egypt, the first thing he had to confront was the... Now, it was that's if you ever see Pharaoh, all the pharaohs, they have a specific way of dressing. And don't anybody tell you that dressing is not important. Don't let anybody fly that. Hallelujah. Dressing is one of the most important aspects of worship. Dressing is worship. Hallelujah. It's a vehicle to express their worship or their rebellion. Those who rebel, they wear their cap backwards, isn't it so?
Yeah.
Isn't it not so?
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you do the alternative. And that's what the homosexual movement began to do. The first thing they did was to change the way the world dresses. And their aim was to break down the gender. There was a barrier, there was a gender barrier, there was a sex barrier. Males, females. The first thing they did was what they call unisex. Unisex. Hallelujah. It has not even arrived. Where they are going to, they have not yet arrived. They are still pushing it. Every fashion season, they move the barriers. And they change the fabric. They own the textile industries.
Yes.
That's what the Philistines did, isn't it so? There was no place to sharpen your war instrument. If you had any axe, any knife, you sharpen it at the place the Philistines have designated you will sharpen it. Isn't it so?
Yes.
That's happening, isn't it so? Yes. You must come to their place. They took it away from them. That's what they have done to us.
Yes.
You go to the shop, you can't buy the dresses you want. You can't buy the dresses you want. You are forced to wear their dresses. And because we have not made that quality decision that we are going to fight, so it doesn't matter. It's difficult. So we're not going the extra mile.
Yeah, come on.
So, the sisters don't dress well. The brothers themselves too don't also dress well.
Right.
The brothers are dressing homosexually.
Right.
So that spirit has come into the church.
Yes.
The homosexual spirit is live in the church. It begins with the dressing.
Right.
He was talking about skinhead. I was going to get to that. The skinhead is a cult. There is a skinhead cult. It's a worship. Anyway, all those are distractions. But the point is, don't tell me dressing is not important. And if you are a woman here in this hall wearing pants, this is the last day you wear that pant. Thus says the Lord. Go and ask God. If you are a woman wearing trousers or pants, today is the last day. Did you say amen? Okay, the church is not agree with me. Are we agreed that today is the last day of wearing pants? I'm not hearing the women. You're not agreed. You see the point? We're not ready for war. We are not ready for war. Hallelujah. We are not yet ready for war. So we're just doing lip service. We're not ready. When we are ready, we will know. Men must be men. Women must be women. The women must dress right. Beginning from our children, those who are 1 year old, you don't wear the pants. This brother is preaching heresy. When you wear the pants when they are 1 year old, when they are 10 years, you tell them not to wear the pants. Hypocrisy. That's why the children, they are not taking us serious. Because we have double standards. We don't know what we believe. And we don't live by it. We are not convinced. We are not convinced. Even now as I'm talking, we are not convinced. Hallelujah. How about tattoo marks? Jesus is Lord. You put it on your skin. What? Hallelujah. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Lord. You have to take permission from God before you can make any mark on it. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go back to what we are saying. The serpent is a spirit of deception.
Yes.
It is a spirit of deception. And that is the power of Egypt. It is the power of Egypt. Deception. Deception. It is the power in the world. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him the great deceiver. And when he came to Eve, what he came was by deception. He deceived Eve. Ye shall be as gods. Hallelujah. It was a throne that was offered to the soul. And Adam took that. And then he got into trouble. So we are talking of ruling spirits. The spirits that walk in the families. They must be addressed. Because those spirits have a way of bringing a covering. And those coverings must be addressed. If we want to go forward. There are certain character traits that run deep into the family. There are certain tendencies that run deep into the family. There are certain tendencies that are national, that are cultural. Some of those may be strengths, but majority of them are weaknesses. Majority of them are weaknesses. And when you begin to war, you must address those issues. When you come to warfare, you must address those issues. And Daniel, when he stood to pray, began to address it. He said, Lord, we have sinned. And he began to stand in the place of repentance. Brother Mark was reading a scripture today. He says, to whomsoever sins, you remit, they will be remitted. Hallelujah. That is part of breaking the veil. You as a priest, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Is that scriptural? The Bible says the in your tongue is the power of life and death, and in the power of the tongue. It says that if you say that where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what sayest thou? Hallelujah. So when you begin to rise as a priest in your home, in your life, you have the authority to break the chains of the devil that Brother Bot was speaking of. There are chains which the Bible calls veils that are binding us. If God opens your eyes, you will see the cords. David said the cords of death, of hell, have bound themselves around me. Those are speaking of specific hindrances. So those hindrances are inherited. Some of them you acquire as you grow in your experience. Because your personality is made up of your inheritance and then the things you experience. And as you go on in life, the cuts are either increasing or you are breaking them down. The more you break them down, the more ability you have to move forward in the spirit. So some of us, like somebody will say, some of us are quadriplegic. That is, we do not have the spiritual strength to move forward. That's to walk in the things of God. You see the kingdom, but there is, we'll call it an inborn error in the heart to be able to walk in those things. And if you begin to go to God in prayer, He will tell you that it's ancestral. That it's something, either in your environment or in your family, that you have not addressed. And those are points of spiritual warfare. So God is calling us to spiritual warfare. If you want to break through the veil, you must be decided in your mind to engage the devil in a spiritual combat. And the Bible says, no man that worried entangled himself in the affairs. What is that entanglement? It's the cords. The cords of hell. That's how the devil, it's deception. He binds you. Every day he is walking a web to bind you. He binds you tomorrow, today, the next day he wants to bind you. He's planning, he has already planned how he will bind you so that you hear the word, but you are not able to walk in it. Hallelujah. And that calls for an emergency. An emergency. Now the Bible says this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And when you pray and fast, it must be for a specific reason. It must be things that God has showed you. Now, many of us have not gone to God before to address specific issues. In your family, all the girls are divorced. You may not know. It's happened to you. But when you look back, you see that all your sisters are all divorced. You look, all the children are not married. Or they're all wayward. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. It's science, psychology. No problem, it could be those. But when you examine closely, you will see a spiritual background. You will see a spiritual background. And that is saying you need to begin to push it. That would say that Ezekiel saw a hole in the wall. Is it not so? The Bible said that when he entered, he saw a whole city. I challenge you. Dig a little bit in the wall. You know what the wall is? Your flesh. Your personality. Your family history. The things you are going through now. Just dig a bit in the wall. You will be shocked what you see. Hallelujah. Your so-called wonderful family history, you will notice that somewhere there was murder. Somebody was killed and they took his land. And now you are not enjoying in that land. You are living in that land and blood is crying out every day for revenge. You understand? That is the principle of spiritual warfare. And every day you find a covering over you. You don't know why. It is because of something that has not been addressed. So it's not to put a yoke on you, but these are realities of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the warfare that has to do with the ruling spirits. Sometimes the parents have not overcome certain spirits, and they expect the children to overcome those spirits. Hallelujah. That there are spirits I have not overcome, and then my children, I'm expecting them to overcome them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. No amen. I must really be out of joy today. Hallelujah. Brethren, we have work to do. The parent, that's why I said the homosexual spirit is destroying the church. Do you know why? Because the men are not being men. The man is the priest in the home. He must bring life. And you bring life by experience. When you overcome, then your children can have life. That is how to bring life. Hallelujah. The men must be men. There is a vacancy for men in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who will stand and engage the devil?
Amen.
Hallelujah. To bring a covering over their home. When things happen to the children, you say, oh, why are these children? Why are they doing this? Why are they? The truth is, of the matter is that we are Hollywood husbands.
Yeah.
Hollywood has created the image of a father, and that's what we are following.
Right.
Hallelujah. No, we will not discuss women. Hallelujah. Amen. We will not talk about the women. Amen. So let's talk about the men this night. You know, Schnobelin, I'm calling who you know. Schnobelin said, Lucifer, the man who wrote Lucifer Dethroned. Okay, and is that what his name? Schnobelin. Schnobelin. Okay. Okay, you now know who I'm talking of. The man who wrote Lucifer, the Throne, and Beyond the Light, Amok, Masonry Beyond the Light, isn't that so? What did he say about the women in America? What did he say about the women in America? Okay, I'll tell you, I read it. He said that because the men became Masons. Yes. The men became Masons. Okay, I should write it, Masons. Masons. Masonry. Okay, good. So the men became Masons. Okay, now you understand what I mean. Okay. Okay, so don't worry, we will get to that ourselves. Now, that after four generations, we said the Bible, God judges the sin of idolatry after the third and the fourth generation, going even up to the tenth, isn't it so? He said by the fourth generation, something began to happen to the American women. Okay, did anybody read the book? What did he say happened? The women became men. The women became men. That was when you have the women liberation. They began to systematically break down the father figure, the husband figure in the home. Okay. It began to break down. Hallelujah. And in doing that, the home was under attack. So today, the children that have come out of that generation were offered unto the devil. Because the women left the home, they were no longer mothers. So these children came out with the spirit of violence in them. And you had the hippie movement and all the things that you know. So right now, the home, the foundation of the American home, is no longer on the traditional godly base it was. So now, these are spirits, dynamics, that are working in the home, that are also working in the church, which the church must address. These are veils that we must break and we must specifically address. Now, going forward, now apart from the covering of the serpent, now, the next thing God had to judge was the waters that came from the Nile. Now, the scriptures say in Eden, there was a river that was flowing. And that river brought life to that garden. And that garden speaks of the four dimensions of the soul. Now, when Adam fell and was no longer in that experience of Eden, what do you think was bringing life to him? It is the water from the Nile, spiritually speaking. The water from the Nile. Now, there is a spirit that brings life to Egypt. If you go to the world is having a good time. There is a party going on. There is excitement. The young people are excited. They don't think of God. They don't want to know about God. There is something they're feeding upon. And I want to ask you the question. If you want to overcome, you must sit down and address it. What is it that gives you life? What is the spirit that is feeding you? Where do you get your life from? I'll tell you. Some people get their life from sex. Lust. That's the energy that feeds them. Some people, it is food. For some people, it is the electronics. The computer, the phones, the videos, the movies, or whatever it is. That is the energy. That is the life that is feeding you. Hallelujah. What gives you energy? Brother says, where do you dwell? Where do you feed? The Bible says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Do you live by the word of God? Is it the energy and the life? I'm not talking about attending conference. I'm talking about the Word of God. Is it the instrument that directs your life? What determines your philosophy for life? When there's an issue, what determines what or how you will react? When there's a quarrel between you and your brother, or you and your wife, what are the parameters that you will use? Is it, you know, what you call public opinion? Public opinion is witchcraft. Public opinion is witchcraft. And there's witchcraft in your home. It's in a box. There is no American president that becomes American president without witchcraft. Sorry, don't be annoyed. Because it is based on public opinion rating. Immediately his public opinion begins to fall, he says this one is no longer a good candidate. So it's very good. All the devil needs to do, the one that is good, he just make sure he gets something, and his opinion poll falls, and he's out. So we are not going to take an action unless it is publicly or it is politically correct. So in your dressing, it must be correct. You are working in an office, and they require all the girls to dress, and you say it is, you have to be alright, you have to be cool. You have to dress cool. It is public opinion. The young children have a problem because they go to work, they go to their schools, all their colleagues are on drugs. Huh? They're on drugs. They are doing all kinds of things. And they are the only ones that are still virgins in their class. Am I talking? Huh? They are the only ones that are still virgins in their class. Hallelujah. And they were telling them, don't steal. You know, so we're not addressing that. The church is not addressing the fundamentals. These are the core issues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, it's good to talk about the theory of the word. But you see, that word must be brought into the class, must be brought home. The word of God must be relevant to today. Amen. Say amen now. Okay, maybe I was too close. The church must be relevant today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are pressures. And those pressures are taking place within the within the minds and heart of the children. Amen. And the church must have a solution. The parents must have a solution for those things. We must be ahead of the world.
Amen.
Who teaches your children sex education? They learn it in school. Okay, we don't talk about sex in the church. Okay? It's a no-go area. Well, if you don't talk about it, the children will learn it on the streets. They learn it on the streets. So, we are running from pillar to post. We are reacting. God says we must be advancing. We must be proactive. That is what the godly women must do in the fellowship. The godly women must be mothers. We need mothers in the church. We need mothers in the church. Hallelujah. To teach the young women how to keep house, how to raise their children, how to dress. How many of the young sisters know how to cook very well? Because you think it's not important. When they go to their husband's house, they want to go to a restaurant. Every day they want to go to a restaurant. And before long, the marriage breaks. Okay. The marriage is a stress. The man wants to eat homegrown food. And this lady cannot cook homegrown food. Hallelujah. No answer. Oh my God. What have I done? We need mothers. Hallelujah. And we need women in the church. There are too many men competing in the house. Amen. We need women. And we need the men. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The waters of the Nile. It speaks of the life that the world brings. As the Bible says, if we walk in the flesh, we will die. You know, when you're a professional person, you get life from your profession, isn't it so?
Yeah.
You get life. Now, how many people are more committed to God than to their profession? As we are in this room now. How many of us are more committed to God than their profession? It's a question you have to answer. That determines where you get your life from. That is it. That determines where the strength of your life lies. If you lose your job today, are you still going to be joyful? Hallelujah. Are you still going to be praising the Lord?
Amen.
Will you still do the work of the Lord?
Amen.
How many people in this room are willing to walk for 2 miles to come for fellowship? That's you walk without a car in America. Do you know what it boils down to? If your husband is not at home to drive you to fellowship, you will not come. Because the husband is not there to drive me to work, to fellowship. So I cannot, on my own, come to fellowship without my husband being there to bring me to fellowship. That is comfort. I'm telling you, comfort is a God being worshipped by people. The softness of life. Bible said that there is scripture in Titus in Timothy that says that lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm not saying pleasure is not good or comfort is not good, but you have to weigh it. Now, there are people, because of comfort, they are willing to stay out of fellowship because it's not convenient. Fellowship is too far. I can't come. But that same person, if he had to be paid $1 million to live in Mahomet and walk in Skyline, he will do it. He will, every Monday he will be in Skyline. He's willing to sleep in his car. Friday he goes home to Mahomet. But if he has to come to fellowship in Skyline, no, it's not convenient. Comfort. No, it's good. It's good to worship God when you have all the comforts. When you have 24-hour light, the water you do like this, the water comes, no problem. When there is an earthquake and the water goes, the light goes. You have to get ready. Hallelujah. The dark days are coming. The dark days are coming. If you don't adjust when it is comfortable, when it becomes inevitable, it's going to be difficult. If you walk with the footmen and you are gasping for breath, what would you do with the horses? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's part of the veil. It's you addressing basic issues. Basic issues. You make up your mind that my faith is not going to depend on all these things. And when you have decided, God will test you. And when you have overcome, your overcoming will be real. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is the waters of the Nile. I need to address something else. Now, there was a plague in which the frogs came from the Nile.
Yes.
We need to talk about that one. That was the third plague. The frogs came from the Nile. You know what the frogs represent? The Bible said that those frogs went to the bed. They went to the bed. Bed chamber. They had a destination, the bed. The Bible says that marriage is undefiled, it's honorable, and the bed undefiled. But there's someone who thinks otherwise. There's someone who says the bed must be defiled, and he's the devil. And he's attacking the church. And he's bringing all manner of defilements into the bed, into the home. He's attacking the children, the homosexual spirit, the spirit of all manner of uncleanness. Not just that, Bible says also that he also went into the kneading troughs, the things they use to make bread. That means it contaminated the word of God. So, if the devil knows that the instrument for bringing about change is the word, he will contaminate it. He will become a preacher. That's the only way. He will build Bible schools. He will teach the Bible. He will translate the Bible. He will print the Bible. He will control the mechanism of anything having to do with the Bible. And he will want to control the ministry of the Word of God.
Jesus.
And brethren, that's why we must be very clear. The issues of the ministry of the Word must never be compromised.
Amen.
If you compromise it, you are finished, and I'm finished. In any fellowship where the ministry of the Word becomes contaminated, there's a real emergency. There's a real emergency. Yes. There's a crisis. How many people have a crisis regarding the ministry of the Word? Okay, no one is ready to read it. If you have a crisis, you must sit down and address it. Now, how do you address a crisis regarding the Word of God? Now, the secret to the solution is self. That is the secret. Self.
Yeah.
Now, if I come to the Word of God with a self-interest, then I'm out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jesus. That I must come with an open heart. Bible says, we all with an open face, beholding. Hallelujah. That means there's no interest to protect. In the morning, Brother Bot was saying about the church, you know, about the body. My body is functioning without any effort. And that's how the body should function. In other words, if I am ministering to you by a wrong spirit, you should be able to know. You should have been able to know that this brother has a wrong spirit. And it is, you see, when someone has a wrong spirit, it is clear that there is a wrong spirit. Now, when it is not clear, it means there are interests. When there is a lack of agreement, it means there are interests. And the way to deal with it is what? Repentance.
Yeah.
Repentance of heart. You see, because the heart is like a screen. It must be clear for you to see clearly.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If my heart is unclean, then I'm not going to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
Because anything I hear, I will hear from the perspective of the idols in my heart. So I cannot have idols and I'm telling God, speak to me. It's not going to work. So, if there are issues with doctrine or with the ministry of the word, the first thing to do is repentance. And the key to repentance is brokenness. That is that brother is submitted to brother. That is the element of brokenness. If not, we cannot move forward. I must be submitted to you. And you must be submitted to me. So if that is not available, then the next, what we must do is to get down on our knees and repent. Hallelujah. Okay, no amen for that. We must repent. The ministry of the word cannot be toyed with. Because that is, Bible says the word of God brings conversion to the soul. So we cannot play with it. We cannot make it light.
No.
We must address it. Our life depends on the ministry of the word. Because the entrance of the word, what does it do? It brings light. If the word doesn't come, we will abide in darkness. Hallelujah. We will abide in darkness. We will abide in darkness and there will not be a moving forward. Hallelujah. So, what the devil does is to bring defilement to the ministry, to defile the ministries, to defile the vessels, and to quench the vessels. To quench. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Now, if you have ministries, and you accuse the ministries. You want to bring correction to the ministry, but you are accusing the ministry. You have corrected the ministry. Then get ready for famine.
Yeah.
I take that again. If you have ministries in your midst, and you want to bring correction to them, you must be careful. You must be careful how you bring correction. Someone says, oh, it doesn't matter. Just bring correction anyhow. Fine. You bring correction anyhow, but get ready for famine. Because you will quench those ministries. They will shut up. They will withdraw. Am I saying something that's real?
Yes.
They will withdraw. And they will sit at the back. Oh, they come in front, and you know we are religious people, isn't it so? He will come to fellowship and he'll just close up. Hallelujah. Why are you looking at me? Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, do not quench the spirit. Bible says, be courteous one to another. There is something called courtesy. Courtesy. Am I getting in? Courtesy. Okay. Sorry, you know. Sorry, the British and American, they're having a conflict. Bible says, be courteous one to another. It's good manners. We need to have good manners in the church.
Yes, amen.
Good manners.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. If your brother be taken in a fault,
yes,
your brother is not perfect, neither are you perfect. So why would you use a perfect measure to judge your brother? Okay, yes, the church is coming to a place of perfection, isn't it so? Yes, it is true. But how do you come there? Is it by force? You grow into it. Our Bible says we should encourage one another unto love and good works. Hallelujah. There are errors. There be errors. Because we all are not at the same level. So the older ones must, and the younger ones too must not be too brash. Hallelujah. It balances. Amen. So we need to pray for the ministries and encourage the ministries. You see, the Bible says that the light of a perfect man is like a light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day.
Oh, yeah.
So the ministry is there. It's not perfect. My ministry is not perfect. How many people have a perfect ministry here? How many people have a perfect ministry? The ministry is perfect. No error. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must deal with one. The Bible says, deal with your wife as the weaker vessel. Is it not so?
Yeah.
Say, deal with your wife as what? The weaker vessel. Be nice to her. Do you know that the ministry is the weaker vessel? How many people know that the ministry is the weaker vessel? How many people know that the ministry, I'm the weaker vessel, don't you know? You are stronger than me. That's what the tabernacle shows. That's what that's what Brother says taught us. Which one? Where is the ministry? This is the ministry. Brother Bot is here. Brother Pete is here. Who else again? Brother Dave. Brother Gary is here. Who else? Brother Denver is here. These brethren are very weak. Do you know why? Without the rings, they are on the floor. See all this brother when they shout, lose, lose, lose. Don't follow that. He is the weakest brother here. Brother Mark is one of the weakest brethren I know. If there is no love, they are on the ground.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
They are on the ground.
Jesus
Christ. So be careful how you relate to the ministries. You must be gentle. You must be tender. Because it's out of peace are the issues of life. You can't be rough with the ministries. You cannot be rough. If you are rough with it, you muddle the waters. And it will take 1 or 2 years for that dust to settle before the water can be clean again. And sometimes you can't rush it. With Miriam, they had to wait how long did they wait? Yes, God judged Miriam. He did all those things, right? But the camp stopped. With Miriam. In the wilderness with Miriam, the camp stopped. They had judged Miriam. They had judged the rebellion. Fine. Miriam, Moses' sister. Okay? But after that judgment, the camp came to a complete halt. No movement. Hallelujah. Is there any place where the camp has come to a halt? Is there any place where the camp has come to a halt? Because we are judging and bringing correction. Hallelujah. Oh yes, it's good to bring correction. I'm all for it. The Bible says when you bring correction, you must do it in the spirit,
spirit of meekness.
Of meekness. That's what Brother George was addressing the other day. The spirit of meekness. Meekness. Gentleness. Brother, that thing you were saying the other day, do you think it could have meant so and so? Do you want to go and look at it? Can we pray about it? Hallelujah. That is enough for any true man of God. Any true minister, any true ministry, just one little. In fact, when he looks at the face of the brethren and the brethren are not smiling, the true ministry will go and pray.
Yeah.
Say, God, what's the problem? They know that there is something wrong. You go and pray. So you don't need to be too rough. So supposing you have been too rough, what do you do? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it is honorable to say I am sorry.
Amen.
You go to your brother and say, I am sorry.
Yeah.
Those who are in the position to receive I am sorry must also receive it in good faith.
Amen.
If a brother comes and says, I am sorry, take it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
In faith. Don't say, oh, he didn't come crawling, he didn't come flying, he didn't come in a car. Amen. Hallelujah. You must take your brother on his word.
Yes.
Take him on his word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Take him on his word.
Yes.
And then pray together.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Say amen now.
Yes.
So, are we going to make amends this night?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That's, you go, that's the practical. You go to your brother
yes.
and say, I was rough with you. I've had to go to some prayer and say, I think I was hard on you. I was bringing correction, but I was hard.
Yeah.
I said, I'm sorry for being too hard. I'm not addressing the issue. I'm not saying what I said was not true, but the point that how I said it may have ruffled some feathers.
Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. That was Moses' problem, isn't it? The people were rebels. They were rebelling against God. They said, ye rebels. God said, no, it's enough. Hallelujah. It was the attitude. The people of God may be so and so, but how do we relate with it? How do we deal with it? So I think we need to the end time church. No, it's not. It's everywhere. The end, we are a little too. We're not conscious one with another. We're not nice to one another. And where you have said things that are not nice about your brother. The Bible says, leave your gift at the altar. And do what? Go to your brother. Now, if you have such a brother and a brother comes to you, please be nice to him. Don't say, now you know I'm right. Now you know that God has truly called me as a teacher in your midst. And then you start rubbing it in. Say, now is my time. Let me have my day. Hallelujah. So are we going to have some practicals this night?
Amen.
Amen.
Will there be practicals this night?
Yes.
So the ministry should get ready. The ministry should get ready. Hallelujah. We expect that people will come to you and say, I have been rough with you. Can we pray over this matter so that your ministry can be restored? So that you can have confidence to bring the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Watch my knee says it takes 10 years to build a ministry. check, you will see. It's not less than 10 years. It takes time to build the ministry. It takes time to refine the calling of God within. So that you're not preaching another man's message. That you are bringing forth the message God has deposited within you. It takes time. It's a pregnancy. It takes time for the world to mature. So God doesn't throw his messengers away easily. Hallelujah. Yes, if the man is in error, bring correction. That means we should not also throw one another away too easily. Our relationships break too easily. Hallelujah. Our relationships break too easily. When I say, I don't need him anymore. You need me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we build the relationships?
Yes.
That even includes husband and wife.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes. It includes parents and the children. Even includes among siblings, among children, among sisters and brothers. We need to heal this thing, brethren.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because in doing that, we will overcome the principle that works in the world. It's a principle that says that they are covenant breakers.
Yes.
Yeah. Truth breakers.
Yes.
Well, they're not, in the world, no one is committed to his brother. We must be committed to the brethren.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's fellowship. We are coming together. So you are in a city, there are seven people, but they can't fellowship together. What is the problem? Why are we in the same city? We cannot fellowship. What is the problem? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's already past 9. Hallelujah. I think we should be closing by now. I'm not sure we can go all the way, but there are. I will encourage you, go and look at those plates. They speak of principles that are now working in the church. And they are working to bind us to the carnal level. There are principles working to bind us to the flesh. One of them, he said, that out of the ground came creeping things. That is the carnal mind. Everything is brought down to the carnal level. You know, that is, you know, you say, well, you people are too spiritual. Tabernacle, tabernacle, tabernacle. Hey, tabernacle is good. It brings you into the spirit. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a bedrock to grow.
Yes.
But you must grow beyond it also.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is a tabernacle of Moses. There is one of David also.
Yes.
If you don't know the first one, you cannot know the second one.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's not be like creeping things, just bound to the earth. We are a spiritual people. Hallelujah. So if you go on and on, you will see, he talked about the animal. That is the animal cult, the Baal worship.
Yeah.
And Baal worship is big time now. Yeah. From Christmas to Easter to Halloween. They are teaching children Halloween in school.
Yes.
That teaching sorcery is not a curse.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, you know, Baal worship. It's right in the world. And it's big money. It's not going to stop.
Amen.
It's big bucks.
Yeah.
So many people's lives are dependent on it. They won't stop.
Right.
You know, now they're going to prolong the Halloween festival to merge with Christmas.
Huh?
Oh yes. Oh yes, they're going to prolong the Halloween so that it will enter the Yuletide season.
Yeah, they already have.
Oh, they already have.
Yeah.
Because it's big money.
Yeah.
The shops are suffering. Consumer drive is falling, so they're devising any means to pick your pockets. Yes, they're devising it. I even hear that some people want to now change Black Friday. And you know, so they're doing all sorts of things, all because they want to bind you. You know, and the church must address all these principles of the world that have come into the church. Now, that is the work of the ministry. That is the work of the eldership. The eldership must be committed to lead the brethren to overcome the world.
Amen.
Yes.
And one of the areas is traditional marriage. Traditional marriage.
Yes.
The Greek marriage is traditional. The English marriage is traditional.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No amen. The Greek marriage.
Amen.
Throwing or confetti, all those things. It's not in the Bible. Did you see it anywhere in the Bible? Cutting cake, long robe, all those things. These are just fairy tales. The church must get back to the Bible.
Amen.
We have a tradition in the church. It's not Jewish tradition. It's not English tradition. It's Bible tradition.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it is the simplicity in Christ.
Yes.
And it comes true. Whether it's burial or it is children, dedication of children, marriage, dedication, raising the children, all those things are covered by the word of God. There's none that is without Christian instruction. None. It's all in the Bible. How you should raise your children. It's there. How you should get married. How you should raise their finances. How many couples have their account together? Money. Money. The love of money is the root of all evils. In how many homes do we have harmony because of money? Is money a problem in the home? Okay, it's a holy assembly. Okay, we won't talk about it. Is money a problem? This is a holy assembly. Money. Hallelujah. The Bible says money cannot divide husband and wife. The money the husband makes and the money the wife makes, are they the same?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, same. Fine. 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 Or is it my money? My money. Okay. Supposedly the wife earns more money than the husband. Is it still my money or our money? It's our money when the man is earning the money. But when the wife is not making the money, we have to look at it two times. Amen. So these are things that they say. They now say marriage is for contract. They say marriage is for contract. For contract. Contract, yes. You sign before you get into the marriage.
Yeah.
Yes. You sign. If this marriage breaks apart, this will belong to me and this will belong to you. How many people sign such contract? Okay, we don't sign it here. Okay, very good. And we must teach our children not to do so.
That's right.
We must teach our children not to do so. Amen. Such marriage has already divorced before it started.
That's true.
Because they've already signed. It's a prophecy that this marriage will soon break. Amen. So these are principles that have come into the church and are eroding the values. And because of it, it becomes difficult for our children to overcome.
Amen.
Amen. So we could go on and on, but I think we should stop. And I feel we need to address the burning issues. The burning issues. The main issues. Okay. The issues that are on the front burner. Amen. Hallelujah. The issues of ministry must be addressed. The issues of the ruling spirit must be addressed. The issues of the home must be addressed. Hallelujah. The Bible says a smoking flask will not quench. Hallelujah. So a bruised reed you will not break. Amen. We're asking God to restore the years of the canker worm.
Yes.
Let him restore our teachers.
Amen.
Let him restore our prophets. Did you say amen?
Amen.
Let him restore the apostolic ministries.
Amen.
Let him restore the shepherds.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to pray for our ministries. I even have a feeling we need to pray for them this night. Hallelujah. We need to encourage the ministries and the gifts.
Yeah.
When a man stands here, it should be the whole brethren standing with him.
Amen. Amen.
We say it's not a one-man ministry, isn't it also?
Yeah.
One-man ministry means he is pastor. But if it's body ministry, then we all should be standing together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to address those issues, brethren. We need to heal and encourage the ministries. Because it's these ministries that will bring forth the mind of God.
Yes.
So it's for the perfecting of the church. How would the church be perfected when the instrument to bring the perfection is sick? Can't you see what the devil is doing? We'll shoot ourselves. Like you say, you cut your nose to spite your face. Or you shoot yourself in the foot. And that's what the devil has been using us to do. Shoot ourselves in the foot. Hallelujah. So I feel the Spirit of God encouraging us to do the right thing. We need to come to the place of repentance and do the first works. Hallelujah. The Bible says that no man goes to war at his own accord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't send a man to war,
no,
and you cut off his supply.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You must support him.
Yes.
You must support him. With your heart. Not even pocket, with your heart first. Hallelujah. And with all that is necessary. Praise the Lord. Amen.